If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Winter, spring, summer, fall, seasons change, we still keep it together.
Hey Beverly Hills 90210 fans, are you ready to dive deep? Episode by episode, storyline by storyline, character by character, as we break down the making of your favorite zip code with your host, Charles
Rosen.
Did I say that?
Jeez. Mary Mullen. This heinous thing about the real person. And we go, what? We're getting rid of this guy.
Pete Ferrero.
I'm feeling wonderful. Kathleen looks TV crush worthy.
Like so many special guests. And all your questions. Live on the Beverly Hills 90210 show. Oh, yeah.
Okay, here
play
we
ball.
We are here for Sports Show Volume 1. This is going to be very exciting. Melanie, it's good to see you. Chuck and
you.
Larry, always good to see you guys. Charles, baseball season's upon us.
We're talking baseball. Yep.
I'm rocking my team. Melanie's got her team.
Yep, got Red Sox and Padres.
Yeah, I brought along a little group of friends to join us today. First, let's start with the real Dodger legacy, Jackie Robinson, Don Newcomb, Roy Campanella.
Nice. All right. That's great.
So I'll raise your franchises three.
What do you got, Melanie? I see you got a whole bunch of stuff in the background there.
I've got the San Diego Chicken. I've got Dick Enberg. And I've got Trevor Hoffman. So I've got some Padres stuff. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I just got my
Hoffman being the only. Trevor Hoffman, is he in the Hall of Fame yet?
Yes, I believe so.
He's the Padre in the Hall of Fame. Yeah, he was good.
Well deserved.
And please connect to your Wi-Fi network.
Oh.
You can find setup instructions in the help section of your Alexa.
Did someone say Alexa?
Gotta love technology.
Alexa, stop.
The only other one I want to show before we get started here is because I noticed the date here. Here is Fernando Valenzuela.
Oh.
And they gave this out to mark the no-hitter he threw on June 29th, 1990. And I wish I could say I was at the game because I used to go to about third of the season back then. But no, I was locked in a room going, they didn't buy any of our stories. What the fuck are we going to do? Because it's June 29th, and they had rejected everything 3 days before. And now we were scrambling to get it done by July 4th. So, wow. Fernando, I missed it, but you can hear him on the Spanish language radio in Los Angeles.
Hey, Larry, I see you got the game on there, right?
I have a Red Sox Atlanta. The last exhibition season is ending. The spring training is ending, but our season for the Red Sox starts on Thursday, 11 o'clock a.m. on Pacific Coast time. So yeah, we'll be watching.
Nice.
Who do you open against?
We open against the Orioles, which is wonderful.
Oh, good for you.
That's a good start to the season. Yeah. Okay, let's talk about this. So there's a lot of sports. Obviously, we cover 90210 has covered a lot of various things here. And it's kind of, well, I mean, there's some hockey early on, right? There's some tennis we see in the first season. But the one that I think we're going to be talking about and diving into a little bit initially is spring training, this baseball episode where the kids are all coaching and whatnot. Charles, how does the baseball episode come to be in your world?
There were no alternatives. We had really run up against it. We had episodes. We had an idea we were developing that got thrown out. We had just finished the first one that Jessica and Steve wrote for us, April is the cruelest month, we were really focused on what's going to happen with the summer episodes that had just been laid on us, that this is what we're going to do. We had spring dance. We had this. And who's going to do this? And so we were looking for different things. And I think I may have mentioned to Dan McDermott, the Fox executive who covered 90210 at the time, that I was out, you know, side playing catch with my daughter because she plays youth baseball. And he said, well, why don't you write about that? And I'm petting my dog as I'm talking. I had a wonderful dog named Remy, named after our favorite beverage. And I used to, you know, pet the puppy. So you got a story about youth baseball and a B story about a pup. And we put them together.
Inspiration.
And I don't think that anybody had enough time to do anything on this but just, you know, approve it. So it was a lot of fun for me to do. A pain in the ass to edit, which we'll talk about a little later. And it was fun. We watched it today, so I hope some of you check out the watch along.
Yeah, because that was a lot of fun. Yes. Let's see here what we have. I know that we have a whole bunch of clips and whatnot from the episode. Let me see what we have. I don't know. Let's see. Pull this one up.
Okay. You got something? Because while you're waiting, Clayton Kershaw will be warming up in the bullpen. Love it.
Okay. Well, this episode gets, you know, it gets intense. There's a lot of things happening. Let's see what this is. Okay. Here we go.
All right. Listen up, baby. You pitch your record, man. Win or lose, you tossed a hell of a game. There's no pressure here, buddy. Go get him.
All right. Good well, that's that good clip has no had no had no nothing to do with anything that we're talking about. So that's where I'll put a better clip of
but Pete. Yeah. And we should say that kid threw pretty nicely for a little league kid. I was pretty happy with that.
As I was very impressed for little league.
I thought he towed the rubber well, and I thought he had a good delivery.
You would think so, and he probably did. But since the director never put the camera behind the pitcher, the only note, by the way, that the executive producer gave him as my wife was in labor was to make sure you – and my only question I asked him, you're a big baseball fan. He said, yes. No base. We're looking over Larry Mullen's shoulder right now. See where the camera is? It's in center
it's always
field.
There.
You can see the action. That is a standard shot. So I agree with you. It looked like it had a nice pop, but maybe – who knows?
You
know,
the
maybe Ian Ziering stepped in and threw the ball. Right. You know, we can't tell because thank you, director.
Was it a casting requirement for these kids to play baseball?
Yes.
It was.
Okay. I would think so, okay. Yeah.
Well, listen, we have one of the kids with us, all right?
We found
Corey, and here he is. This is Paige Gosney. Paige, it's good to see you, man. You played Corey. I mean, you were a little bit of a bully. You and you and Noah, you know, were bullying that little kid Manny, right? Well, tell me about this for you, coming into 90210. I mean, what was this like, you know, as a young kid getting cast in something this big?
Well, it was great. It was, I want to say at the time, 90210 was not quite what it would go on to become. So it was still kind of that, I think it was first season, right? Or first.
Yes,
absolutely. Yeah. Not big at all. So
yeah, it was still... I think I was familiar. I knew Shannon Doherty. I knew Jason Priestley just from other things. I remember I think I was 11 or 12. From a 12-year-old's perspective, I got to basically play baseball for 2 weeks and hang out. I think it was, if I recall correctly, it was only going to be a one-week shoot, but there was rain. So it ended up getting continued for a second week. And we basically just lived at this park, this ball field in Century City, I want to say.
Beverly Hills, but on the border of... Century City Century City being on the border of Beverly Hills.
Yeah, I was right there. And just had a blast. I was got to know all the kids. I actually, the kid who played Randy Crawford, the right fielder who had an issue with that fly ball. Yeah, at the end. I worked with him on another movie after this. This was one of the early parts that I got once I started acting. So we kind of crossed paths a number of times after that as well, which was really cool.
Well, I know that when Pete said that he had contacted you, my first was, I looked at the name. I said, oh, Paige. Paige is the redhead.
Yeah. Right? No, no.
No, I was the curly-haired blonde kid. I was very good at cackling in the episode.
Oh, you do a lot of laughing. Okay.
Right. Yeah, a lot of laughing. A lot of overemphasized reactions to doofus, which was a great term that I was pleased to, you know, doofus doesn't get its fair due. I think
it was. It got quite a lot of play here. Yeah,
it did. That was one of Noah's favorite derogatory or whatever insults for Manny.
Well, you're a young actor, right? I mean, so I mean, it's hard to be acting because you're playing baseball. I mean, we talked about this with Muntz. We'll show those clips a little bit later about playing football. I mean, so how are you kind of first of all, as a young actor, how are you, you know, developing character and all that stuff as a kid? I imagine that's got to be tough.
Yeah, I mean, it was the character himself was fairly one note in terms of being, you know, the bully type character. So in that sense, you know, it was easy to kind of track what that character's emphasis was, what my reactions were. And a lot of my kind of acting in the episode was really just reacting to what Davey, what Noah said and you know, that kind of a thing. So it was, from that perspective, it was fairly straightforward and easier. Obviously in jobs and as I progressed in acting over, you know, the years to come and different things, that kind of process evolved. I got better at, you know, at understanding the nuances, identifying and making that a part of the character. But early on, it was really just kind of figuring out, you know, what the character's track was and staying on track, essentially.
Was there anything fun that you guys got to do? I mean, obviously playing the baseball is fun. Was there any kind of, you know, activities that the kids all did together or anything like that? Or were you pretty much all kind of kept, you know, apart or when you were not acting?
We were all pretty much together when we weren't in school with the set teacher and the trailers. We were pretty much out on the field just practicing and playing around. If I remember correctly, during the rain delays, we had a couple of days where we just did school and went to, I don't know if it was the studio. I'm trying to remember where it was, but it was, but we kind of got to spend some time.
Van Nuys. You drove out to a warehouse in Van Nuys.
Yes. Yeah. And I remember we hung out with Brian Austin Green for a little bit there, who was really cool and got to see kind of a little bit of the background, you know, situations. He was really great. And I think that's where I met the girls, other than at the set, kind of for that one scene at the very end when they're actually there. We kind of got to meet Shannon and Jenny and the others briefly. We didn't have a whole lot of interaction. It was mainly with Steve and with Ian and with Jason.
What were they like on this? Were they? Was it fun?
It was a lot of fun. It was great. Ian was awesome. Ian was great. He was out there hitting balls and playing with us and getting after it and having a good time. Jason, my recollection, not as much, but he was. You know, he was around. He seemed nice. Didn't have much interaction with Luke. I remember walking past him in the trailer one day. He was sitting out front and just kind of gave a hello and brooded a little bit, and then we walked by. So that was that. But he was nice. He seemed cool. He seemed all right. But yeah, I remember Steve or Ian was great in particular.
Well, you mentioned Ian. Today happens to be his birthday.
Happy birthday, Ian!
Right.
Happy birthday.
I mean, we were kind of laughing about some of Ian's
his outfits.
Outfits.
Oh, yeah.
The half shirt, tank top.
Yes, that's the one.
Shredded.
Yeah, I know.
If I could pull that off, my goodness,
it was great.
Yeah, there was a lot of. I rewatched the episode last night. You sent me the link. There were some interesting, some funny moments in particular. One that jumped out at me was I remember after Brandon walks off when Noah won't come out of the game, and he's talking to his dad that night, and is like, "Oh, Davey was so upset. He called me from his car phone." He couldn't even wait to get home. He was so upset.
That's
he had to hop on the car phone.
Yeah, especially then.
Per second. Right there. That's definitely 1991.
Love that.
Yeah.
Well, luckily, he wasn't in the canyon, so you could hear him.
No.
That was always the thing. I can't hear. I'm in the canyons. You didn't have to take any calls. Remember, Chuck, we'd be going over to the other set because we were on, you know, a hill separated our from the writers from the set. So if you were in the canyon, you could always say, "I can't hear you." I'm misspelling the call. I can't hear you. I'm in the canyon.
And how many times, by the way, Larry, did I call Aaron Spelling going back to the studio? He'd get on the phone and he then did that to me.
Yeah.
Didn't want to talk about whatever problem it was. And I always used to do that. Jonathan Littman, you know, I used to time it. I'd hit send, and then the first line, of course, we might get disconnected. Oh, they're gone.
He was our great, you were not accessible. Early days of mobile phones was great.
Yeah. And they were only this big, too. You know, every phone, you know, they were giant.
Yeah. Cancer producers.
I'm curious, Paige, though, did you get recognized? Did you play Little League too as a kid? Or
yeah, no, I was, baseball was my sport. I was a left-handed pitcher in center field for my positions primarily.
What league, Paige? Larry and I are both alums of coaching and managing and things like that.
Very cool. I grew up in La Cañada, so we played in Crescenta Cañada.
That's good baseball out there.
Yeah.
Did you get recognized as from that show after it aired?
Oh yeah. No, I did, and I still to this day, because it was. I mean, obviously, it's 90210. It was impactful for kind of everybody for my age and a little bit older. So even now, when it's on syndication, all of a sudden I'll get a random text from somebody, you know, who's just like, 90210 was on. I don't know what channel it would be. And your episode came up, and so it's one of these things that just kind of resurfaces every year or two, and I'll get a random message. Facebook and other things, people have reached out, like kind of like when I got your email, it was like, was that you?
Yeah. And then of course you also get, besides those random things, you'll also get always a residual for about 18 cents?
Actually, it's funny, about a week and a half ago, I got a $5.83 check for residuals for 90210 for this episode. So
nice. All right, well, that's good. So it's picking up a bit. Ian Ziering always says it's the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah,
that's what he calls the show.
Absolutely.
That's amazing.
90210, and I did a few episodes of Home Improvement. Those are the two that I keep seeing pop back up every now and again.
Great.
Yeah.
You
know. And I got to ask one question before we whatever Pete's going to do. Okay, I'm looking out your window there behind the blinds. Is that the Pacific Ocean?
No, that's the San Bernardino Mountains, the kind of Big Bear area.
Oh, nice. Oh, is that the lake? Is that Big Bear or no?
No, that's just an office. That's an office park. So,
yeah. You're seeing water?
I don't know what Chuck is seeing.
Yeah, are you seeing water, Chuck?
I just see Venetian blinds.
Behind the splats. It looked like that was the beach, and then behind it was some ocean. And he said he was South Orange County, so I wanted to see, is that Doheny or Trestles or something? But no, you know, fun. You're in San Bernardino.
Chuck was on the Corona hotline. Chuck was on the Corona hotline, I think. That's funny. Yeah.
No, but I was wondering if you, when you were playing baseball as a little leaguer, are you like it's like, oh my God, Corey, he played Corey. You know what I mean? Like, were you a little bit of a wise ass after this show? Did you become the character? Was it a little art imitating life at one point?
I don't know. I probably walked a little taller, you know, carried had a little bit of attitude for a little while afterwards. But then I'm sure as soon as I got beamed the next time or something like that, then that brought me right back down to earth. And
so did you have a second pitch? Paige, did you have a second pitch?
I did. I had a changeup and I had a fastball.
Oh, no curveball. Okay,
but it's, you know, when you're in Little League and you're a left-handed pitcher, just being left-handed is enough of a wrinkle to
big advantage. Yeah.
What about this kid Davey or Noah in the episode? Was he fun to be around as a kid?
Yeah, he was fun. He was cool. He and Damien, who played Davey, I think the other creature son. Well, the three of us and then Bo, obviously, who was Randy, kind of were the main kind of crew hanging out because we were the main group of kids. And we spent a lot of time together hanging out. Everybody was really cool. He had that very overly New York accent and played it well. I know he was great.
He was awesome. Yeah. Have you ever been given sushi at a game or whatever the
souvlaki.
Souvlaki and all that stuff?
I have not, although I will say I coached my daughters in soccer in AYSO in South Orange County, and you get some of these parents who show up with full on desserts, and you get mimosas for the coach and the parents. And I mean, it's like 9 o'clock on a Saturday, and you've got the full spread of pastries, and it's crazy. But nothing like souvlaki or sushi, I will say.
Yeah, I was just doing that to make my statement. I was saying before, Paige, that I coached Little League in Beverly Hills, and the actress Barbara Bain used to bring hors d'oeuvres, really not for the kids, but for the parents, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, so, you know, and I remember souvlaki being it, so I put that in there.
Yeah, I think all that I ever got were orange slices and a Capri Sun, maybe, if I was lucky.
Yeah, Capri Sun was mandatory.
Yes. That was a good one. Yeah, that's funny.
Absolutely.
All right, Paige, thanks for joining us, man. This was great
to have you. Thank you very much, Paige.
Yeah. Oh, thank you for having me. It's a lot of fun.
You look great.
You look great. Yep. And do you have a team? Do you have a baseball team that you root for?
I'm a diehard Dodger fan.
There you go.
Have been number one to my heart, but having lived in Orange County now for a number of years, I do appreciate the Rally Monkey, like the Angels, but the Dodgers will always be number one.
So. Here's Kirk Gibson, the big moment, the best moment we ever had, the number one moment of baseball.
That's right. Never gets old. Never gets old.
No. All right. Absolutely. Thanks, Paige, man. Appreciate stopping by.
Bye, Paige. Right. Thank you.
Bye.
That was great.
That was fun.
Him. Yeah. I mean, you were talking about it before, Charles. The kids from this thing, none of them went on to do any acting, right?
If you believe IMDb, which I many times do not because I know how inaccurate it is for me, but you know, so it says, Paige still acted to 1998. This show was done in 91. Three of the people were out in 91. One, I think, stayed to 95. And that great gal pitcher that Andrea brought, it didn't even bother putting her name down.
Well, she's also not credited on the episode itself.
Yeah. Well, you know what happened? Probably she probably was Taft Hartley for the show. She was not a union member, so theoretically, contractually, they didn't have to put her name. Maybe I don't know. Maybe if she was Taft Hartley, she would have been a non-union performer.
I mean, it's very possible too because
she wasn't protected by the union.
That's the most plausible explanation I can imagine.
She doesn't have any lines. She just, you know what I mean. She
might have been a special business extra.
Yeah. That's right. She would be a principal extra, probably. You know, SAG.
But you got an upgrade, but you were not a union. You were not in SAG.
Got a credit. I mean,
you weren't in SAG, but you weren't considered a principal or even a guest role or anything.
Right.
Well, she's really great in this, and I want to ask you about that story. You know, creating all this and the moments and whatnot for the episode. But Melanie did something very cool with us last year when we were planning out the Super Show. We went to the park where all of this took place. So here's a clip of that.
Standing on the pitcher's mound at Roxbury Park where the Beverly Hills Little League played. And we're getting near the end of the first season, and it's clear we need to get a script done in about 3 or 4 days. And Darren turns to me and says, "You like baseball? Why don't you write a baseball story?" And so came the episode called Spring Training, where the talented girl pitcher for the Peach Pit team was a girl, and I had a daughter who was very athletic, and you know, I'm a feminist, so I really liked that plot. But the major thing happened, if we turn around, the camera's gonna follow me now, and we're gonna turn around right over there, where during the end of the scene, a lost dog that Brenda has rescued comes running, and one of the Little League kids knew that it was his dog, and he says, "That's my dog. Come here, Rupert," as in Rupert Murdoch, who owned the Fox Broadcasting Company. And no wonder we were never thick as thieves. But this is where we filmed it, and it was a fun episode, and one of the few times we got to actually do a location in Beverly Hills.
Cool. So a couple of things about that location, right? I think you have mentioned that you ran into Luke when coaching or something like that at some point?
Yes, Luke coached baseball, and he coached it in the Beverly Hills Little League. I don't think he necessarily lived in Beverly Hills, but you could, you know, juggle in this, and there he was, and it was great. Now, the one thing I can't remember
I think it was Roxbury, but it could have been
La Cienega. I think it was La Cienega, Chuck.
I think it was La Cienega because that was closer. He lived in Hancock Park. And the thing is that I expected that we would be filming in La Cienega Park. And I remember that was the day they were doing the location scout at La Cienega Park. And so I get a call from Paul Wagner, who's on the scout, just bringing me up to date. And I'm in the labor delivery room with my wife, my mother, my sister Carol, and Karen, who's already had two children, but this one's taken a while. And Paul asked me, "So how's it going?" And I said, "Well, it's kind of like waiting for our DP to finish lighting." And I used his name, but I'm not going to do it here because I like the DP. And it just was that day. And I was so surprised when they told me that they were using Roxbury Park. But I shouldn't be surprised because, as I've said many times here, the locations are often chosen by where you can park your trucks. And parking is much better at Roxbury Park than La Cienega, which has no parking.
Yeah, you have to park in a public lot across the street. Also, that park is I always liked the La Cienega Park because when you look out in center field, there used to be a big sign that said Hustler, because the Hustler building would be right up there.
That's great.
Oh, boy.
Well, the episode gets off to a bang, and let me show you this, what happens to Port.
So, for the tryouts, you up to hitting some fungos?
Just point me to the bat rack.
All right, nice meeting you, fellas.
See you later, Dave. Bye-bye.
So how tight is your dad with Franklin?
Oh, they work together pretty tight, I think.
Oh, and you can bet old Franklin's going to make sure his good buddy gets all the best players.
Yeah, maybe. Say, is your dad any good?
He loves baseball.
But is he any good?
See for yourself.
I'm sorry. Love that. Steve's shirt is incredible.
I want to say a lot about Jim Eckhouse, but also, if you noticed, when he swang at the last image, there was a Hispanic woman holding a little child. That's Matilda Alice holding my daughter, Maxine.
Oh, wow.
I love it. Like
who is there? And she must, you know, for whatever reason. I have one really kind of funny story that would link into 90210 that has to do with a bad back. Because I remember I was a skier then. And we, you know, the whole notion is I realized if I go ski in the way that I said, I wasn't a great skier, never was a great skier. So I realized I could get really hurt because I hadn't done anything athletic from the moment I signed on and stopped playing basketball to actually flying up to Aspen, to Snowmass Mountain, to go skiing. And I put Lindsay, who was with me, she's 6-year-old, I put her in ski school and I get on the slopes and I'm really concerned. And I'm telling the guy next to me, I said, gee, I haven't, and it's April. The snow's beautiful and up there. And I said, gee, I haven't skied in all season. And this guy who's got the great tan because it's spring season and he's got the good shirt, he's sitting next to me and he's telling me I got 90 days. I've done 90 days or 60 days, whatever it was. He was an avid skier. He would fly up from Los Angeles and spend time. And I said to him as we're going up, I said, so what do you do? And he said, I'm the union rep for the editors union. Excuse me, I'm the union's rep for the prop union.
Mm.
And Larry, the prop union was the one that brought a formal grievance against the spelling company because of one of the people saying that this wasn't really a non-union show.
Oh,
it was union because Torand, the name of the company,
was
at the same address as the spelling, and it wasn't separate, and they wanted to explore this, and they brought a lawsuit. So this guy tells me he's from the prop union, and by the way, maybe 3 days, 5 days later, the suit was withdrawn. Nothing ever happened to it. And the reason is because their representative was skiing every day. And basically, the executive producer of the show did not tell him what I did when he said, "What do you do?" I said, "Oh, I just write a little, you know, not much." And that was that. But I just think it's really funny that here was the rep for the union. They had us by the gonads. And the guy was too busy to really follow up and what the Dalton sisters wanted. And that was that.
Hmm. Yeah. Here's some more stuff.
We're going to have a good time?
Yeah!
Are we going to play ball like we know?
Yeah!
Let's do it. Let's do it. Come on, let's go. Where's my catcher? Okay.
So we got Nat as a coach too, right? Team Nat. That team's not so great. I mean, where are you pulling from all this, Charles, when you're putting this together?
Well, like I said, I played in the Park League, and Little League had all the status. So we weren't as good as the Little League. And I remember the one time we did a scrimmage. It wasn't obnoxious like this at all, but the other team was an interesting team because they had Dino Martin and Tony Sales. Soupy Sales' son was both on the Yankees. And it was at that Roxbury Park, actually. So, you know, there was always a disparity. They had cooler uniforms. We had a T-shirt, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So I think some of it came to that.
Yeah.
There is one moment. Pete, you got the moment where the little kid gets the big hit?
The
you know, where the
Manny?
Manny gets the hit.
Let me see. This might be it. Okay, let's see.
I just want to make a reference because I know where that came from, and I had forgotten until I saw the episode today with you guys.
All right, this is this.
Give it up, you bitch!
I don't think that guy touched the plate. The first runner did not touch the plate.
Chuck, if there was only instant replay,
the kid did not touch home plate. If we want to see that again,
Matt was very lucky. Larry wasn't on the other side.
I do not like that at all, man. I suspect Bert Brinkerhoff had some reason why the kid had to go wide around the plate or whatever. The kid cuts behind the catcher, who's clearly standing in front of the plate.
Yeah, I wonder if Bert has ever seen a baseball game.
God bless him. He's probably somewhere.
Very nice.
He's a very good director. He's just not a baseball guy.
That's okay. It's okay. You don't have to be. But I mean,
But the one thing I want to say about the incident where it came from was I do remember in Pony League that there was a kid who was, mentally challenged. Physically challenged. I can't remember what. And he played for one of the teams. And the guy who was not on my team, but named Jason Newman, who was the best athlete of my era, 1 year ahead of me, who took Beverly Hills High School to win CIF basketball, had a better game, was out-dueled Paul Westfall. So he was really a great athlete, became a high school coach and history teacher at Beverly High. He's beloved and very popular. His brother Gary Newman was longtime president of Fox and television. Sure. And Jason was up there in the mound against this kid, and Jason was an all-star. He was really good. He slowed the pitch so that the kid could hit it and got a single and got on base.
Ah, I see.
And I remember all the adults in the league, including the president, putting their arm around Jason after the game and calling him a mensch. And so I remember. So the kid didn't actually slow up in the same way, but that was the moment that inspired the idea that the kid could get a fluke hit and get on base. And it was more than that.
A couple of other things that happened in this episode that we should touch on. We kind of talked about it a little bit Avery, right? I almost called her Paige now that you did that. Okay. Avery is the star female player for the Pits. I think Dylan finds her. Andrea finds her, right? So where did that come from? Like bringing the female into the world too. And I have the shot of
she spells her name Lindsey, Lindsey Rosen. You know, I've said many times, I made this show for my daughters. And so the idea that whether it would be having to do with teenage sexuality or physical prowess, if, you know, girls could play, girls could compete. That's where that came from.
Let's show you.
All right, let's
Nat,
go.
Nat, this is Avery. Avery, this is Nat.
Hi.
Wonder what Andrea Zuckerman's doing here.
Dylan, take care of it. Here.
Give me it's going to be great.
Hurry up!
What's Dylan doing, bringing in a ringer?
Leave.
My God, it's a girl. Don't. It's a girl.
That's our buddy Corey laughing there. Yeah.
Right.
Poor Dylan, he's really scraping the bottom of the barrel, huh?
All right, batter it up.
Yeah.
It's so nice to the manager. This is such a fun episode. That's so great. She hits the big home run. And of course, the other thing that happens in this episode, which I don't have a clip of, is the dog. You know, Brenda finds this dog, which only reason why I bring that up, because it ties into the end of the episode where it's the kid that got strayed at Crawford. It's Crawford's dog. So talk to me about the dog. The dog was wonderful, right? Larry, I mean,
we were so good.
I love an animal actor, and that dog was excellent. Just hit its marks, did everything you needed. His name was Magic, by the way. The dog, the credited name for the dog was Magic.
Oh, did you look at, you see it in the end titles?
Yeah, it says Wally played by Magic.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice. Yeah. And obviously a wonderful pup. You could see that nice fate and everything. But also, obviously, a really good handler, really good dog trainer. That, you know, you could just kind of tell how that dog was happening. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, good. And the name, you said it in the clip, Rupert?
I just thought it was funny, you know, and, you know, I had a bad sense of humor. What can I tell you?
Was it like, you know, that nobody, this has got to get in. Nobody's going to notice that I've done this. I am going for it. I'm going for Rupert.
Yes.
Right. Exactly. I love it.
You know, it's funny. I never realized that Rupert was the president of the network for, you know, I always think of, you know, Barry Diller. Yeah. I never, you know, because he wasn't so prominent then, I don't think. We didn't.
Well, he was the owner. That is
right. I know he was the owner, but he kept a lower profile then, I think, maybe because he was an offshore owner.
The moment that, because he's dealing with Barry Diller and Barry Diller is the killer, what are you going to do? So Diller. I remember when Mr. Diller left Fox, I like it was hard for me to conceive that there could be a Fox broadcasting company without Barry Diller. Kind of like
I'm with you. I'm with you. I felt that way too.
So I think that Rupert felt that he now had the freedom to step in, and I know that in the world of pilots in the mid '90s. When you made a pilot for Fox, you had to you didn't have to worry if Mr. Murdoch liked the show. You had to worry if Mrs. Murdoch, who would sat in and next to him and watch all the pilots, whether she liked the show. Mm. Because, you know, you could, you know, everybody talks what they think, and it's pretty, pilot rooms are really rough, you know, because everybody finds the criticism. No, but how rough? The president of NBC, Don Ohmeyer, walked out of the room after seeing the pilot of ER and said it sucked, and he left.
Too much camera movement. I remember the comment that stuck with me watching one where some guy says, "That guy's in the show. He's yesterday's wardrobe." Oh, I don't want to mention the actor's name because he's a friend of mine, but that's
right. Yeah, rough.
Ooh, that was kind of brutal.
Yeah.
But let's Barry Diller, but you know, I think he was replaced, if I'm not mistaken, talking about the Murdoch's wife, he was replaced by Lucy Salhaney. Is that correct, Chuck? Because she was a real lightweight.
Oh, Lucy Yeah. Was it Lucy who came in? I know Jamie Kellner for the beginning. Ooh, Jamie Kellner. Jamie Kellner, wasn't he there?
He was later. No, he wasn't the top, I don't think, because he was only top when he moved over to the CW, I thought.
Salhaney was brought in to run, to take the upper job.
Yeah. Yeah, she was.
When we were in college.
Yeah. I remember someone said to me, I was going to say, the one thing I knew a guy at Fox who said, Lucy, the only thing she's concentrating on are what the Christmas gifts are.
Yeah, well, she's the one that basically said that she didn't like our the only time Jonathan Lippman ever gave me notes from upper management. Notes were always from either Sandy Gruschell or Peter Chernin. They're, you know, they were on the production, the creative team. This was on the business team telling me she wasn't happy with the episode and disappointed with the ratings. And that's when I said, and here's a tease for a future show, yeah, well, I'll tell you what, by the time we're in sweeps, we will be on top of Melrose because we're going to Vegas and Brenda's going to go lope.
Oh, that's great. I can't wait to cover that episode with
and
you.
We'll have a lot of fun doing that. Mm-hmm. Lindsay and Josh, by the way, Larry and I both in Vegas. They are so excited that we're doing the podcast up there, Larry. I don't know exactly what we're going to do or where we're going to do it, but it's going to be different than all of them. I guarantee you.
Oh, for sure.
You know, I wrote Zach Throne, but he hasn't written me back. So we'll see what happens. I was going to go see a show.
Thank you for that, Zach. But I want to talk before we get into football. Hey, we didn't talk about this at the top of the show because we're all over the place, but we should mention that next week we're doing our 1 year anniversary show, Story Slam, right?
This is going on. And where's our t-shirt, Pete? Where's our t-shirt?
I'm working on it. I'm trying to get something ASAP. But I'm really excited about Story Slam. We've gotten so many great ones that I've seen. Melanie, you've seen a lot of these. What
yes.
are you feeling about the people that have put in their stories?
I'm feeling very strongly about a couple of them. Some of them maybe don't have quite as much structure, beginning, middle, and end, but they're really cute. So we're kind of sifting through and, you know, determining what we're going to bring onto the show. So keep sending them in. Keep sending them in. Remember, beginning, middle, end, very important factors for this.
I saw one that came through that didn't, but her idea of her character would be absolutely incredible.
Very cute.
And I just feel like that might be a path, like we might need to let it come in just to see how it plays out.
Well, I mean, it's just a chance to play with us. It's just a chance to play.
That's exactly right. And if there's something you really like that doesn't fit the rigid structure that the network guy, me, Larry being the producer guy, set up, screw the network. Give me a good show. Give us good ideas. Larry and I will have fun with them. I don't care if they have. I mean, I said you needed a beginning, middle, and end to give structure to people, but anything's cute. Anything that strikes your fancy, let us reject it.
Okay. All right.
Because these are like the lost episodes of 90210 that no one's ever seen. We've unearthed these and they've starred, you know, characters we never heard of, but they should really fit right into our seasons, which is great.
And I want to just let everybody know, Thady is 100% in. She came up with this idea. She does not. She goes right to the. I don't know what you would call that in the network world, but she went right to the right in.
Oh, it's a series order. It's not just a pilot. It's a pilot with an order.
A series order. She's coming right in. So Story Slam. Make sure you guys submit.
She's not. We're not going to series. We're only doing the one episode. Yeah. So another way you could talk it is the term was called a put. Put pilot.
That was the term. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So Thady's a put pilot, and we're really excited. I'm sure she's happy to know that she's a put pilot.
But, hey, one more thing for next week's show also. I'm working on a little surprise to celebrate the anniversary. So for any of the fans, DM me at Media Melanie on any of my profiles, and I can send you the information for a little thing that we're working on. I can't say what it is, but get in touch and you can be a part of it.
We'll look forward to that.
And one thing before we switch off. So, you know, I got all these little guys and stuff like this around in my office down here, some baseball plaques and things like that. And I also include this, this little thing here, which, as you can see, is a Colorado Rockies helmet.
I am surprised why you would have this.
Because my sister, Barbara, was in Denver with her husband, Richard, Oliva Shalom to both. And they were there, and they saw this, and they thought it was so cute, and they bought me a baseball hat that said that was CR. And I wore it all the time for 2 years. And
when I first met you, that's what you were wearing.
Is that right?
Yes.
And then there you go. There's confirmation.
Right.
And when the Rockies became a real team, I went, what am I doing with this hat? What I got left is this little one here.
I love that. Melanie, you had another question about spring training. You just DM'd me. Go ahead.
Yeah. You know, we didn't talk about this in the watch along, Charles, but you said you were going to discuss having the ump behind the pitcher's mound and how that came to pass.
Oh, well,
we went from happy to
sad. I have no idea why he put him there. That's where he should have put the camera. I mean, I wouldn't want
to. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe the ump was afraid.
Oh, you know? But I do have the story. I know what you're saying. So we don't have the shot. So I mentioned that, you know, when I told that story about the guy from the editor, the prop union, my daughter Lindsay's with me. And they send up the rough cut. They send up the director's cut for me to look at and give notes. And I sit down with Lindsay and we're watching it. And you get to that last game. And Larry, I swear to God, I couldn't figure out what was going on. I mean, why is the camera, why is he doing, oh my God, do we have a lot to do? And I'm up here. How are we going to do it and get to air? And it ends, and it's got that nice moment, you know, all the stuff with the dog and the end stuff. And I said to Lindsay, I said, she's a young girl, but very bright then and now. I said, well, what'd you think, Lindsay? Did you like it? She said, yeah. Did you have any idea what was going on? No. I knew we were in trouble, but it's because of the placement of the camera. And when you, if anybody watches baseball with the opening day being Thursday, notice where the camera is every time. It's out in center field.
Yeah. No, I work in sports broadcast. I know all about it. So it's interesting to see the picture there. I mean,
when you were editing this, this is really pre-digital editing too. Like, you know, you're before like Avid machine. So you're really probably editing this on a flatbed or something.
No. We were the first.
Oh,
we were the first group. The name of the technology was called, oddly enough, Prodigy.
We were
that one thing. And Larry makes fun, and he's right. You know, computer and everything. We were way, way behind the spelling company. But in editing, we went right to digital.
I think,
without knowing this, I bet that they gave them the machines for free to try them out.
Oh, probably. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Sounds to me like the kind of thing that the spelling company would love to save some shekels and do that.
Yeah.
But so that's what we did. So, no, we did have the machines right from the start, Lair. We never did a flatbed. We never did the old style.
Now let's move into football. Okay, we've got some things to talk about. We move to college. We see sports. We see some basketball with Cress Williams, Deshaun Hardell. Right. I mean, hello, Cress. What are we doing here? Right.
I know.
I mean, really. And high school basketball with Tico Wells. High school basketball with Tico Wells, one on one.
That's right. We should have dove into that, but we have talked about that episode previously, and we
another
can.
Time.
Yeah, go further into that. But we do get to college, and we have Keg, and we have a flag football game in the dreams of Dylan McKay as, like, the B story. And I know we wanted to talk a little bit about that, too. Larry, talk to me about flag football and putting this into college.
Well, I mean, we knew our guys are good athletes. So it was just, again, a way to kind of get a contrast to the other story and also tell a good Steve and Rush story in there. And also, you know, just to see our guys in action, you know, looking athletic. I mean, they look fantastic in that sequence. You know, there's nothing better than flag football because you don't really have to, you're not going to really get hurt, so to speak. But you get to play and imagine yourself playing football, which is a great game. And I like the play we have for Rush at the end. We have the old, it looks like a bubble screen pass, or what is it, a flea flicker, I guess.
Yes.
It's a flea flicker play. But, yeah, I just that episode was directed by Scott Paulin, so I guess he did stage it pretty well. I think the football looks pretty damn good.
Oh, Scott actually was a soccer Maven. Coach. He was a coach. I believe he also was an administrator of a league.
Yeah, he was a referee too.
And he reffed. And one of the things that he did, I remember at this point, maybe I don't know if it was the Dreams of Dylan McKay or this, you know, football, but he actually had extra tickets or tickets he could not use to the World Cup finals at the Rose Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
And so Karen and I, Jessica Klein and her brother, took the four seats, went out to Pasadena in July. What were we thinking? It was 105 degrees, and the score was 0-0. They did the kick. And also, it was Brazil versus Italy, and 70% of the people in the Rose Bowl were for Brazil, and 100% of the 100,000 people who couldn't get into the stadium, who were surrounding it, were for Brazil. I, of course, was for Italy.
Well, we had a – thank you, me too. Brazil won.
Brazil won on what they call penalty kicks.
We had a chance to talk to I'm just calling him Months now. I know he's got a real name, but Ryan.
I know. On Whidbey Island.
We did talk to him. He invited Larry and I up to the island to eat, remember? Yeah, that was nice.
Have you ever been there, Chuck, to Whidbey Island?
Not Whidbey. I've been to the San Juans.
Oh, you have? Okay. Yeah, I never have.
Whidbey is, you know, famous for one of the first shootouts between white right-wing extremists and federal government.
Oh, I didn't know that. Mm.
Whidbey Island, look it up.
So I'm going to show you a clip here. We'll watch this and then we'll comment. I have three clips of Months talking about this stuff. And it's going to be really trippy because there's clips inside the clips. So that you remember about shooting out some of the sports.
Well, of course, I remember the volleyball scenes with John Sears and Ian, or Steve, excuse me, and eating the moon pie, of course. And then also the flag football scenes where I kind of was allowed to live out my childhood dreams of being a football player, which was cut short because I busted up my neck when I was a kid playing Pop Warner football. So when I had the chance to do it on camera, I just went all out. So I think there's a couple of scenes I remember where I get to dive over the line and crush through a couple of players, which was great.
Well, let's see. I got a couple.
Football video essay. Take one.
Go, go, man.
Oh, none. Yeah, right, baby.
Through the middle.
I love it.
Let's through the middle. Yeah, that's the play. Oh, man. That's, you know, one thing I noticed, like the guys really went all out. Exactly. Yeah,
a little bit like Refrigerator Perry. They do, Larry. You're right. They go.
You know, I mean, the guys, I mean, everyone went full out here. I mean, there's some full speed going on there. I hadn't noticed the Jason interception before that, but there's an interception that Jason makes there, and Ian blocks him coming up for the touchdown. But watching Muntz go through the middle like Refrigerator Perry was great. I mean, the one thing, all our guys, I mean, Steve, Ian, and Jason were very good athletes, and so we were gifted with that. So we knew if we put that stuff, it, you know, gave them a chance to show off their physicality, which was, you know, it's a joy to watch.
Also, I should mention how cute Claire looked.
Oh, God, she did look cute.
I had to leave that in, yeah. But the game is a lot of fun. You know, go ahead,
Charles. You know, the one thing I got to ask Larry, because he's the football maven. You know, I played flag. I loved it. My son played flag. He actually played varsity football.
He did.
But the play that Muntz ran, it was great, and we loved it because he gets through the line. He gets his moment. But it's not necessarily something you'd run in a real flag football game, because going over the center, that's where all the players are, and you'd pull the. It would be easier to pull the flag.
But that's a deception, Chuck. Everyone's expecting a pass. So in a way, you could pull that play off.
Yeah, I'll coach Macy right
I mean, there. I mean, I remember that play for us was because I played as a kid, you know, before I did play high school football too, defensive back. But as kids playing, we played in the snow, which you couldn't have done, Chuck. But that was the greatest thing when you'd have, because you have no pads and you'd be playing full out in the snow, and was always like the big heavyset guy, be like, put him through the middle.
All right. Well, our equivalent to that was that we would play it. We couldn't wait for the rain.
Oh,
and you'd play on a muddy field. There was a field to where the Beverly Hills had its water district up on Rexford and Sunset Boulevard, just past the Beverly Hills Hotel. And we'd go out there, and one of the best athletes in Beverly Hills, we went there as a freshman year playing the game we'd always played as kids, and he busted up his knee and he never played it. It was like months, you know, he never got to play. And there's D Mullen in the background.
Hey, hello. D Mullen,
the secret sauce of Larry.
Bye-bye.
I love you.
Adios. Very cute. All right, listen, I'm going to play another clip here. This is Muntz talking about whether what it was like acting and also sort of having to go full throttle as the athlete. So here's like you're obviously acting, so you got to be careful not to smash Jason Priestley. And to, you know what I mean? what is it like to do those scenes? Like, be mindful of like I got to be full throttle, but not full throttle.
I guess you're thinking about that in the back of your mind, but not really, because you're in character. If that makes any sense. I didn't really think about running into Jason or Ian. But I do remember that play going over the middle. I was just like, all I have to do is make sure I don't hit the person below me. And nobody's going to get hurt.
Good stuff there. Great stuff from Muntz. I wanted to ask you guys, we're taping this on Tuesday. The baseball season starts on Thursday. We all like different teams. Prediction, since we are talking sports, what is your team going to do opening day? What is the score? Who wins? What does it look like? Let's start with you, Larry. Your Red Sox, what do you think is going to happen opening day for your team?
Well, we have Evaldi pitching. I think our team's going to hit the ball. So I think I'm looking at the Orioles, you know, they're going to be – they don't have a lot of money they're spending. I mean, that's a kind of a weak team, I think. So I'm looking at like an 8-6 score. We're going to win 8-6.
Red Sox 8-6. Okay. Melanie, your Padres, big off season for them. Right?
Lots of good acquisitions. I believe we have Snell pitching opening day, and I'm predicting the Padres are going to win 5-3, and we're playing the Rockies.
You're playing the Rockies. We're playing – the Mets are playing the Nationals in Washington. DeGrom is going for us. I am going to say a 3-1 Mets victory over the Nationals. Charles, what do you think?
Well, I've just been eclipsed here. Melanie, will you check the schedule?
We're playing the Diamondbacks. I was just going to correct myself. Padres Diamondbacks opening day.
Yeah, okay.
Yes,
yeah,
I was wrong.
What we're up against here? Anyway, Dodgers are going off against the against the Rockies, which you're not expected to, which is expected to be the lower, worst team, but they're playing in Denver where the ball flies, and we're pitching Clayton Kershaw. And he knows how to throw the ball up there so it flies for batters. So I'm hoping it's going to be a big score, like the 8-6 that Larry said. And I'm just hoping that we're the 8.
You've got such a good team there. I mean, everyone picks the Dodgers as the strongest team this year when you look at the power.
Well, on paper, their pitching is awesome. And they have two world-class hitters, Mookie Betts and Corey Seager. Bellinger, you're not in this conversation anymore. You know, step it up, dude. What? We've got a really – it's a really pretty solid team. How solid? When Larry talks about the good hitters he's got out in Boston, two of them are ex-Dodgers, right?
Yes.
So there were just so many players we got rid of, you know. So it's a good time for the franchise. Hopefully we'll be doing this all the way through, and we'll be talking about it in the postseason.
That'd be fun.
Exactly. Yeah. I think there's a lot of great things we could talk about with more sports in in additional volumes. I mean, I wanted to really briefly talk about some of the celebrity sports athletes that showed up on the show. I know Barry Bonds, we're talking baseball here. So Barry Bonds definitely played some golf with Steve and whatnot. Do you want to talk
and his father?
Bobby, that's right. Bobby Bonds.
No, that's not Bobby. You think it's Bobby, but no. It's actually an actor.
Oh no, oh, Bobby didn't show up.
Bobby until right now.
No, I don't even know if those guys were talking to each other, you know, but we had the actor and he came and we made it that, you know, the rule, one non-actor per episode, you know, we had both father and son, it would have been a little bit more. Barry Bonds was close to Tony Shepard, the casting director. Tony was a big baseball fan and it was very exciting to the idea that he would be there. Barry didn't understand, though, why he had to wait all morning before doing his shots. You know, he what is this? And I just said to him, Barry, you're the one who want to be an actor. And I don't think he probably ever did one after that, Larry. And because his personality changed so dramatically, I'm not even sure he ever got a national commercial spot.
No, I don't think so. Yeah. This was before he got outed with the steroids.
With the steroids, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Hey, Larry, also Steve Young for football, right?
Oh, yeah. We had Steve Young and his agent, Lee Steinberg, and he throws the pass. I mean, actually, they played a football on the Walsh front yard on a Thanksgiving day. You got Steve, you got everyone playing that.
Cameron, it's really Bancroft.
A joyous time. Yeah, Cameron Bancroft, who played Joe Bradley, the football player. Yeah, that was Donna's present to him. Which was
Do you
cool.
remember how Steve Young or Barry Bonds came to be on the show? Start with Steve Young. Do you know what that process
was? I think it happened through Lee Steinberg, the agent, who was a friend of Aaron Spelling's. Mm-hmm. And but I love in that episode, we do a real Beverly Hills thing there, Chuck. Donna sees Lee Steinberg. She's like stalks him and says, Mr. Steinberg, my father did the surgery on your father. It's like one of those networking things.
That's very Beverly Hills.
So I'm Donna Martin. My father did the surgery on your father. Such a great, you know, social climbing way to go.
Anyway, she leaps in front of his car. We were trying to get Kathleen at the time, and I said that's what I'm going to do to get her. when we covered that, if you remember. Go ahead, Melanie. You sent me a message. What happened?
I was also wrong about our opening day pitcher. It's actually Darvish, not Snell. So I was wrong on both counts. Darvish. So you know
Melanie, you work with the Padres.
I do. Technically not. I don't get paid through the Padres. Actually, I am contracted through Bally Sports San Diego. We've had a transition from Fox to Sinclair. But yeah, anyway, so I was working off of wrong information.
That's okay. Yeah. That's okay. Well, there's a lot of that going around these days. So that's
we're looking forward to going down to Petco and maybe in August when Larry's back in the West Coast.
That'd be fun to do.
A lot of fun.
And then, of course, Steve Young wasn't the only football player we had.
Howie Long.
That's right, Howie Long. Right.
The first episode of season 5, he shows up in the airport, and he's, you know,
I love again, that.
Fox had the sports, though. You know, Chuck and I just kind of, just took in the favors there. We knew we could make it work.
And Larry, you don't remember, because that wouldn't have been your conversation. I had to bludgeon Fox Sports.
Oh.
Because we wanted Terry Bradshaw. Bradshaw was the personality, and Bradshaw didn't want to do it. And the guy from Fox Sports didn't really care. And I basically had to say, look, you guys, you're just coming to Fox. We've been here 5 years. Are you sure you want to have this conversation with me? Are you sure you're not going to want to go back and see if someone will give us a couple of hours? And of course, you know, by the time 2 years later, we would have never got it because Fox Sports grew so much, as did Fox News. And then Fox programming became less and less. And now, of course, they're owned by Disney. So you can't get much more less than that.
Yeah,
and really. Our RSNs are now owned by Sinclair and Bally Sports. So lots of changes with the Fox Sports branding.
Yeah.
Howie Long was okay. Was on set. Good to go.
Nice man. And I saw him one time maybe 2 years, 3 years after I was already out of the show. I saw him in Los Angeles. I saw him on the Fox lot. What am I talking about? And I had pilots at Fox and other scripts at Fox, and I saw him walking, and I said you did our show and this, and he said, oh, that was a lot of fun, you know, and walked by. So,
oh, very
cool. An easy day for him, and he's a nice guy. And his son is a professional football player, right, Larry?
Oh, two of them were, Kyle Long and also Chris Long, yeah. They won a Super Bowl with the Patriots. Chris Long did.
To get a Patriots plug in there.
You know, we also had on the Olympian Kerry Strug in one of the seasons, six or seven, that Chuck wasn't on. And Cam Neely in a hockey episode with Jason in the seventh season, I think.
I think we could do a whole hockey theme.
Hockey
skating. We want to get on skates because, too, we had – although sometimes pair skatings, I don't know if you would consider that athletic or art, but kind of combination. But the big sweethearts of America were called Randy and Ty.
Sure. Ty Babylonia. Ty
Babylonia and Randy, what is his first name? And they were in an episode for us too, but they played announcers, we didn't get them on skates.
I'd love to talk about once we get to summer. And hey, look, you guys did so much volleyball in the beach club. You did, you know, there was so much fun stuff that happened there. So a beach club episode to do and a sports volleyball, you know.
David Lasher would be great.
And sports hockey were both episodes done by Jeff Melman, a really terrific director. And I hope he'll come on one of these days and reminisce on those two with us.
Definitely.
He also helped us with the polo game we did in season six.
Oh, that's
he was a polo player himself.
A very good athlete. Yeah,
I think this has been a lot of fun, guys. Great. This is a great episode. Yeah. I know everybody loves when we're live, and so we will be back live next week for the Story Slam 90210, and that's going to be our 1 year anniversary. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. We're looking forward to that. Then on the 14th, right? We've got some Las Vegas. And we are definitely working to cover Brandon and Kelly this month as well, too.
Yeah.
So we're trying to get David Gale, so that should be a lot of fun, too. And so if anybody knows David Gale, reach out to him. Come on, David. We want you on this show to talk about that on the 14th. This has been a lot of fun, guys, looking at all this, the baseball and football sports. Good luck to all your teams. I am rooting for my own, so I'm sure you're rooting. We're all rooting against each other, right? Yeah. At the
end. Especially me and Charles.
So Pete, let me get this straight. You root for the Yankees, right?
Definitely not. Well, I think we all agree. We all agree on that, right? We all agree.
We all can agree on that. We hate the Yankees.
Larry knows, and Mel too. Me in baseball. I was there in going to graduate school in 1975, the first year that the Sox got into the World Series. Carl Yastrzemski's last season and Fred Lynn and Jim Rice rookie season with Louis Tiant, the big pitcher on the mound, who made a big point of every time he pitched, he would put out the big cigar and smoke his cigar. He was the original Big Poppy. I was, my radio station was very close to the Fenway, and I would go out to almost an empty baseball park in those years, at least in spring when it was cold. And for $1.50, sit in right field and hear the Irish guys behind me betting a dime on each pitch, ball and strike, ball and strike, ball. Got to gamble. It's New England.
All right, guys, this has been great. Another great episode. And we will see you all next week for Story Slam. Hit up Melanie, right? If you have something for this thing.
Yes, I'll let you know what we're doing.
Yes. Okay, cool. And we will see you all next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.